Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for our scripture readings, and we just pray they would go out and take root in our hearts and not return to you void, but accomplish all they were sent to do. And we do pray in the power of the Holy Spirit for the grace of perseverance, that we keep our eyes fixed on you and stay focused on the mission you've given us. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. So the scripture readings today are obviously very kind of concerning that, you know, we believe as Catholics all these things are going to happen. And the catechism is very clear that it'll be the final unleashing of evil that will cause the bridegroom to return for his bride. So when the end times come, you know, it's going to be a period of great chaos and a lot of difficulties. But that's not the focus a spirit-filled Christian or Catholic is supposed to have. We're supposed to not be terrified, like Jesus said. He's telling this in advance to warn us that don't be surprised when these things happen. But if you're in me through faith and grace, and you're being directed and operating under the dynamic anointing of the Holy Spirit, you have work to do, and you'll be focused, and you won't be concerned about just your own self-preservation and how do I hunker down while the storm passes over. That's not a Christian idea at all. It's we're in the midst of the adversity, reaching out to people and trying to lead them into a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. But I believe to a great extent the Catholic Church is extremely distracted nowadays for a number of reasons, and I'll get into that later. So I'm always trying to watch things, well, sometimes trying to watch things on TV that I know are spiritually edifying. And this week, the Lord directed my attention to a program I've fallen way behind on, but I enjoy every time I watch it. It's called Life Today with Betty and James Robeson. And I believe it was Thursday morning. I sat down early in the morning after my prayer time, had a little extra time, and saw this incredible testimony by a young lady named Christina Baker. And she was raised mostly in Bolivia as a child, and her parents got divorced, and so she was in a very difficult relationship. Her stepdad was abusing her, and she was getting into all kinds of bad behavior because of that trauma of that situation. And eventually, it just kind of hit a point where her mom said, you know, you have to leave. And so they put on a one-way ticket plane to see her biological father in Hawaii. They thought he was living in Hawaii. And so she went there, and like 6 hours later, he showed up at the airport and said, you know, I'm actually homeless. I wish you hadn't come here. I'm living on the beach. She went to Maui. And she said, you know, the last time I saw my dad, I hadn't seen him for 10 years. He was a big oil executive, rich and wealthy, but he got into cocaine, just ruined his life. And so he was homeless living on the beach. So she joined him on the beach living there. She too, as she said in the testimony, started living a double life and got into drugs, drinking, but worked during the day. So it finally escalated to the point where she had a baby out of wedlock and then was got arrested for drug possession and was about to be arraigned and face, you know, some years in prison and everything, and was in a very bad place mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. In fact, she was actually contemplating suicide. Like, how do I end my life? I can't live anymore. This is just so awful. She didn't believe in God. She was an atheist. Her mom was, you know, a Catholic but wasn't practicing her faith, so, you know, lots of people have an acquaintance with the Catholic Church but really didn't get any background or any involvement in the church or anything like that. So she's sitting at her computer waiting for the arraignment when a gentleman who was obviously open to the prompting of the Holy Spirit came up to her and tapped her on the shoulder and said, "The Lord has a word for you." And she's like, "Who is this? You know, I don't believe in the Lord. And I want to invite you to a prayer meeting we have on the third floor." So she was at a place of desperation. She decided to go up and join the prayer meeting. And she says, and I just put the testimony on the website. It's under recent updates. And it just says, here's the testimony I'm preaching about my homily this week. And click here. And you can watch. It's only like 20 minutes long or 22 minutes long. So she goes up to the prayer meeting. And she says, people are pacing back and forth and praying. And she said, I'd seen people pray the rosary, but these people were just praying in an intense way that if God is real, then they've come into an encounter with him and are communicating with him. It was something that really affected her. And then they came over to her and laid their hands on her. And she's like, if you're not used to that, it was a little off-putting, but hey, I just, you know, I'm going to go with it. And then the gentleman who invited her to the prayer meeting came up to her and read a passage from Jeremiah that said, this is a matter of life and death. And he had no idea that she was contemplating about ending her life. And then they began to talk with her and pray with her, and she began to open up, and he just said, you know, would you like to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? He can help you out of this desperation you're in this awful pit that you're in. So she did, and she says, and you can hear this, I just listened to it again to make sure I get this right, you know, I felt this peace come over me from the top of my head to the bottom of my toes like I'd never known before. And I was sober, I wasn't on drugs, so it wasn't from that stuff. She said, all the things I sought in drugs and alcohol, all of a sudden God was just saying, I am sufficient for you and I have something for you. Her life began to change. That, in a nutshell, began a whole process of deliverance for her. She avoided going to court. She actually went and talked to the DA. She felt the Lord say, go talk to the DA, and they dismissed everything, and she was able to find a wonderful husband and now is trying to encourage people and be a witness to what God did for her, for other people in places like her, in desperation and so forth. So I was just moved by the whole thing and thinking, this is why it's so important for us to help people understand that the Holy Spirit is not optional in the Catholic Church. And opening yourself to the charisms and gifts of the Holy Spirit can lead to these situations. Thank God for that man that was open to the Holy Spirit and tapped her on the shoulder. Who knows where her life would have been or wouldn't have been if he hadn't done that. And I say that to you today because I'm always trying to help people discover the charisms of the Holy Spirit, because that's how the early church operated, that somebody got a word and they went over, Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, go to that carriage, I have some work for you to do. The guy gets baptized, he goes on his way rejoicing because Philip was open to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And if we look inside of our Catholic Church today, and let's put the gaze back on ourselves now, James and Betty aren't Catholic. They're very nice people. They have Catholics as guests a lot. They're very respectful. They never say anything bad about us. But let's look at ourselves. Is that really the focus of the Catholic Church today? That all the problems we're experiencing in the world, the divisions, the wars, the breaking up of our families, people not talking to each other, not forgiving each other, all these things, do we really believe that faith in Jesus Christ and openness and docility to the Holy Spirit is really the answer for these problems? Or have we succumbed to a very worldly message? Instead of preaching that, aren't we just having listening sessions where people are coming forward and saying that we need to be more worldly and inclusive and change our teachings? Because that whole thing, that annoying message of, you know, repentance, belief in Jesus Christ, life in the Spirit, no, that doesn't work. Isn't that really the reality that we're seeing today in our Catholic Church? Do all of our Catholic parishes preach the gospel in its integrity? Our Catholic schools, are our students hearing that message, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? I think we're very compromised today as a Catholic Church. And we need to just come back to the basics of our faith and believe in them. And I saw this on Thursday night. Later that day, I went to Sammamish for Mary Queen of Peace to listen to a wonderful Catholic evangelist, Alan Ames, from Australia. Very thick accent, but I understood him. And he just told the beauty of our Catholic faith. He said, there's power in the Eucharist. There's healing power. And God rescued me from a very bad lifestyle and brought me into a relationship with him. And there's healing power in the Eucharist. And you just talk for maybe 30, 40 minutes. And there's also power in confession. That when the priest says those words, you know, go in peace, the Lord has forgiven your sins, your burden is lifted and God starts you over again. And it's such a joyful experience. And obviously, the Holy Spirit was anointing him that night, because I stayed there for about 3 hours and heard confessions. And many people who had not gone to confession for years came back. And we prayed that a spirit of oppression be lifted off of them. We prayed for healing in their families, for the people that aren't talking to each other anymore. It was a wonderful evening because we just stuck to the basics of the mission of the church, how Jesus Christ was anointed in the power of the Holy Spirit and went about doing good and freeing those who were oppressed by the devil. And people were freed that night. It was beautiful. But when we deviate from that message and we become secular and worldly, then the chaos, the confusion, the hatefulness, the violence, the suicides, the depression, it just all spreads even further. We have the answer to all the problems in society. We just need to believe in him and proclaim him and share our own personal testimony. And all of us are capable of doing that. Maybe it won't be as dramatic as Christina's, you know. I haven't lived on the beach. It actually sounds like it'd be fun for a few days, but then afterwards, you know, not so much fun. But she is so grateful now that the Lord delivered her from all that, those oppressive things that happened to her. And she has a whole new way of life. So she has a TikTok thing. And I guess she has thousands of followers and does these little two-minute words of encouragement each day and stuff. I'm not on TikTok. I'm not interested in joining that. But the testimony is powerful. I encourage you to click here to watch it. It's very powerful. And now we want to pray for our church that we get back on track and stop being distracted and lacking in faith. And open ourselves up to the grace of Pentecost, because instead of focusing on all the things that are going to happen, and they are going to happen, they will happen, we're focusing on people and believing that Jesus can set them free. Those whom the Son sets free are free indeed. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Amen? Heavenly Father, we just ask you to help us in our mission as a church. We ask you to purify our hearts, our minds. If we've made idols out of anything or anyone, clear those away. And help us to trust in you so that people around us can see the joy you've given us, the new life you've given us, and be attracted to you. And open our hearts to the charisms and the gifts of the Holy Spirit so that we can operate not on our own power, but on your power. Not by power nor by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord God Almighty. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.